You guys, are we on?
You know, in the case of talk radio, it always helps to pretend that you're live.
You know what? I think you're right. Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, you guys, hey, this is Wild at Heart, and I'm Noreen Halpand, and I'm broadcasting live from the Western Continental United States, which is California, okay? Anyway, where it is 9 p.m. here, and I know it's different time zones all over the world. You know, I just got a memo from one of our very supportive producers, and he said that, you know, it is a roundtable, but I do have a choice as to whether I want to pull in. If I'm going to pull in callers in the beginning, I can, or I don't, you know, maybe I can reserve half an hour. I'm just, really, you guys, I'm just going to go with the flow. But I am going to put the number out there in case somebody really wants to call in right now. They can, I'll pull them in or Skype me. But otherwise, we might just talk for the first maybe half hour and then, yeah, take calls. We'll just kind of go free form. So, yeah, if you still want to call, I'm not going to stop you. And that is area code 347-688-2902. Now, that is the number for Studio A. So I know some people get confused. Like, what studio is this? This is A. And although we have Studio B, too, which is like, you know, that is like really cool. I mean, I love B. Yeah, I think one thing that's cool about the station is we've got choices. And so, you know, we have A and B. So anyway, and Skyping for Studio A is Freedom Screen, all lowercase. Or you can Skype me personally, Noreen, N-O-R-E-E-N dot Halpand, H-E-L-P-H-A-N-D 1. Some of you guys already have my Skype. I highly suggest that you text me and let me pull you into the queue. Or whatever they call it, because the group. Because otherwise, if I accept your call, we could be dropped, and I have to call you guys all back. You know how that goes. So, anyways, with that, you guys, hi everybody in the chat room. Nice to see you in there. Basically, you know, my voice is kind of recovering, so excuse me. But I think it is. I think it's getting good here. I want to welcome all the people on the call here. We've got Nick. If you want to say hi, you can. Okay.
Hi.
Ah, hey, there you go. And we have Angela Black.
Aloha. Welcome to the show.
Aloha. Okay.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You're welcome. And then we have Vinny. He says Vincent on here. Vinny Eastwood. Hi, Vinny. How are you?
Yeah, somewhat fabulous is my standard response.
I like that. I think that's very welcoming. Anyway, this is a round table, and you know what I usually do? Is I want to call out to the audience, say, hey, you know, we got this station with all these ideas that we put out into the universe and for your listening pleasure and education and information. To keep doing that, though, we have to support the station. When I say we, not picking on any person, just this is generic we, the listenership out there.
The generic we.
Or as the Big Lebowski would say, the royal we. You know, the editorial, you know, I donated directly as per your, anyway.
I'm going to a Big Lebowski, party this weekend. I swear.
Really? Are you serious?
I'm supposed to dress up and I'm like, who am I going to be? I really want to be, you know, I really want to be John Turturro's character, but I don't have a purple jumpsuit yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, you know, because I know somebody else is going to go as Julianne Moore. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. You were on a roll.
I think it's funny.
About the generic we, and then we got into the royal we. So anyway, yes, we want you or us people to donate. That's where we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could do that through very very many different means. Just go on freedomslips.com, hit the homepage and the site support, and you could donate any denomination. Of monies, right? That dirty word, monies, or whatever. Monies towards a good cause, which is station, or you can buy products. You can buy, my goodness, we've got non-GMO seeds that are still put out with a lot of hard work and love and effort by Mike Ringley, the owner of the station. And, you know, he really believes in this product, and they're heirloom seeds, so they're really good.
I have.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Yeah, I've got like a bunch of tomatoes growing on one plant right now that I definitely grew from the seeds I bought from, well, I didn't buy from Hawk. I donated to the station, and that was the gift I got. So, yeah, and I've got other things growing as well, but this one particular tomato plant is just, I think I've got about 14 or 15 tomatoes on the vine right now, so I'm very excited about that, and I would highly recommend it to anybody if you are looking for some type of a kickback for your donation. Go for the seeds. Go for the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hopefully you don't get busted for importing those seeds like Mark Emery did, but, you know, I don't think they're that kind of seed.
we got to talk about that. Hey, we're open here. But anyway, it's just...
I bet you any seeds, you know, are
they're all acceptable. Yes, they really are. So anyway, yeah, so you can buy those non-GMO seeds, or you can buy like t-shirts, bumper stickers. Those are all offered on the site. So that's one of the ways, you know, invite archives of last year's hosts and specify the show if you can do that. Anyway, instructions are on there. So thank you for that. And I want to welcome another wonderful guy, Wally Ladd. Hey, Wally, how are you?
Hey, Noreen. Love you.
Oh, love you guys too.
It's an Eastwood, Angela Black.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget Nick. Yeah.
I did. I said, I did.
Gotcha. Just in the nick of time.
Ah! Thank goodness. You know, we need comic relief, don't we? We really, you know, Vinny, that's one of the talents that Mr. Vinny. Do you like to be called Vinny more than Vincent, right?
Well, yeah, that's why I called my show the Vinny Eastwood Show, as opposed to the Vincent Eastwood Show, or the Vince Eastwood Show, or the Vintage Eastwood Show, as I was called in my student days, or Vin Cheezel, as my mates call me, because on account of the cacophonous sacks of corny jokes that pour forth from the rambling bloodstream of my brain places.
Well, hey, that's awesome. You guys, you know, before we kind of open this forum up, oh, I didn't even say anything. I was just going to say I was going to ask a question, but okay, I'm going to ask it. Okay. Vinny, I want to tell you that I know you live in New Zealand, and I had the opportunity last year to go with Douglas Dietrich to Australia. I want to just say, and I haven't been to New Zealand, but I am so impressed by the people from that hemisphere of the world. I think you guys are awesome. I just want to say that.
You realize there's quite a few different countries in the Southern Hemisphere, like are you, including Brazilians, people from Peru and Argentina.
Well,
you know,
I did specify.
South Africa, Zambia, Madagascar, they all included in the Southern Hemisphere. Oh, you guys kind of thing?
You know, my problem is that I did not specify, and usually I'm very good at geography, so forgive me. You know, this is ironic. I know you guys are Southern, quote, but I don't know the proper, you know, the terminology for that region, I suppose. Okay, the region. So I guess I don't know.
South Pacific, you know.
You know, I was going to say it is the South Pacific.
It's generally pretty close to the mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting because that's amazing in a way, because it did occur to me that it was the South Pacific. So I was actually going to say that. I'm not kidding. So I just wanted to say I'm very impressed with the people and the beauty of the areas in your region in the South.
I'm sure there's a few asses as well.
Yes, there is.
Just saying, you know, there might be a couple. I'm not sure. Vinny not being one of them, but, you know, hey, it's funny. I have to tell you. You know, I come from a state, I come from a state in land called America, and it's called Wisconsin. And it's so funny, when I moved to California, I now live in Nevada. But when people used to find out that I was from Wisconsin, they used to say, oh, do you know John?
And you're like,
John from, you know, John, he lives in Wisconsin. I'm like, I know a couple of Johns, you know.
My goodness.
Anyway.
I know a couple of Johns, but apparently I don't know Jack.
That could be taken in so many ways, you guys. I'm just kidding.
I caught myself after I said it, but the point was...
It often can be taken in many ways.
Uh-oh.
It's okay.
Breathing.
It was a totally platonic thing, man.
Yeah, exactly. We're just talking, you know.
You know, Angela, speaking of, this isn't Wisconsin, but this is in your area. You are saying something about apples that you texted me something about apples, and I'm like, Wow, yeah. What's this thing with apples?
Well, I did want to talk about this if we had a quick second. You know, I did grow up in Wisconsin, and many apples grow there. It's wonderful soil. It's wonderful land. I live up here in Lake Tahoe, and it's very interesting to watch apple trees grow. There are a few, and my neighbor and I went today. There was a particular private yard, and it had a sign out that said, pick apples. Take as many as you like. You pick. And they actually provided an apple picker. And then we also went to a couple of other more public spots and picked apples all day. Now, as they say, you know, if God gives you lemonade, you know, I'm sorry, if God gives you lemons, make lemonade. I totally screwed that punchline up. But anyway, so we got like 150 apples today, and I am in the process of making applesauce today. I haven't made applesauce since I was a child hanging out with my grandmother, so I'm really excited, and that is why I wanted to bring it up, because it is a roundtable, and we get to talk about, you know, our day, as well as political topics and, you know, world events and that type of thing. So I just wanted to share with everyone that my big moment is honoring my grandmother and making applesauce today. Yes.
Yummy, yum, yum.
Angela, you know why that sign was on that apple tree for free apples?
Why?
Think of all them apples laying underneath the ground, all squishy and gishy and buggy and
absolutely.
And they don't have to rake. They don't have to rake the apples up that fall on the ground. So if they can give them away, that's less they have to pick up.
Correct. And the frost is here, and it would be such a waste. So we gathered a bunch of them.
Well, Angela, now you're going to have to make applesauce and apple pie and everything and mail it to each of us on this call, which means Vinny Eastwood way down under in New Zealand, okay? No,
Vinny, I hope it'll keep.
Yeah. Well, see, as a journalist, you're not supposed to reveal your sources.
So...
No, that's a good point. Vin, since we do have the privilege, I guess, privilege, Vinny, no, just kidding, of having you on, no, we love you, would you, you know, you have a... really quickly mention you have a show on Revolution Radio on Studio B. Can you give the time, date, and any information about that out there?
It's 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern time on Wednesdays on Studio B, freedomslips.com, where you'll get 2 hours of fantastic talk radio by moi. And it'll be just so fabulous that you won't be able to believe it. And in fact, it'll be the very reason why you continue to listen to freedomslips.com. Just hoping that they rerun show.
Awesome. Awesome. I have some questions for you, but you know what? You guys, this is free forum if you want to make statements, or if you want to, you guys ask questions to Vinny. And I'm going to look in the chat room and see if there's any questions to any of us or to Vinny. Okay, I'm going to, Heather, I'm going to pull you in by. Yeah, I have to do this. Otherwise, we're going to get dropped. Okay, Heather? So she's going to have to... I'm going to pull her in, okay? Because that's kind of what I do. I don't just, you know, it's like I have to do that way. Heather,
yeah, I kind of felt rejected there, Noreen.
No. Nobody.
And I knew what was going on.
Yeah. So where's Heather here? I'm looking for her. Heather Holman. It's kind of hard when you, like, have to... You have to type the thing in, and then you go back in.
I can also interject while you're going through the technical moments of live radio.
And producing on air.
I just really want to say I'm very glad Mercury has
retrograde. Tell me about it.
It was a really weird October. I take it with a grain of salt. But it was a doozy. So I'm really excited. It left retrograde, I believe, on Saturday, the 25th, and it has a lingering period of about a week. I'm curious to find out if the rest of the people on the call believe in it, et cetera. But I have to say I'm already feeling, you know, like everything's about to start running smooth. I don't do tarot a lot, but I found my tarot cards, and I just did a one-card pull, and everything seems to be going forward. I made my husband do one, and it told him he had to start focusing. He got the Seven of Cups. And and so he told me he had to start focusing. I got the reversed Wheel of Fortune, which was apparently positive. And so very interesting. But yeah, Mercury, retrograde, long gone or on its way out. Thank you. Higher
power. We can all see a unanimous phew. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put you all under my power and give you a hypnotic suggestion that from now on, all planetary retrogrades and or alignments bring good fortune.
There you go. Very good.
Oh, I'm so hypnotized.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you guys, I want to welcome Heather Holman. Hey, Heather.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, H-H? Hey, hey. Mm-hmm.
I call you HH now. You're straight up HH.
HH. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. It's like Her Royal Highness, right? It's like all these cool, like,
VE. I don't know. He's still Vinny. You know, Vinny. VE. Not
Her Highness.
Okay. So, How does everyone feel about the retrograde thing? I'm sorry. I just need to know.
Can I say first? Because we all went through so much, all of us. Yeah. I got to say this because I do study astrology, as you guys know, amateur astrologer here. And then you guys go ahead and cue in if you want. The Mercury retrograde in Scorpio in the early degrees fell in my third house of communications. So I was thinking, wow, all this week I've been inundated with these bizarre scenarios with communications in and around the internet, my home, the whole thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, when is it going to? So finally, everything now just seems like, whew. But yeah, it was in my third house. So that's why I want to comment about that. Third house rules communication, see? And then Mercury retrograde in the third in Scorpio, which is very intense, right? So there you go. Does anybody else have any commentary on that? Go for it.
Scorpio!
Well,
I was actually talking to one of my I'm producing a couple of shows for two Kiwis at the moment, and one of them was actually talking about this Mercury in retrograde. And yeah, man. Everybody seemed to be going through it this last couple of months. And incidentally, it was happening during an election in New Zealand where my YouTube channel got deleted. I had like 16,000 YouTube subscribers on that puppy bear with like 3.5 million hits. I was the biggest channel in the country, even bigger than the mainstream media competitors. Well, in terms of news anyway, not the entertainment channels, They obviously have like hundreds of thousands of slaves who subscribe to them. But, that's not what I was after. I was after beating the local mainstream media. So that was a big turn off, Thank you, Mercury, you retrograded son of a wench.
I love that. Tell that Mercury off.
Retrograded son of a wench. I'm sorry, I may steal that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you credit. I'll pay you.
Yes, yeah, you feeling all right, man? You look a little retrograded. Maybe you need some of the high-grade stuff to take some of that tension off, man.
Oh my gosh. Cheech, you do a good Cheech and Chong, man. Oh, my gosh, man.
Kiwi Cheech. Kiwi Cheech.
Dave's not here.
Dave's not here, man.
Yeah. Well, we can all do a show related to Cheech and Chong's famous favorite weed. But anyway, go ahead.
Hey, man, am I hosting the radio? Okay. I think we're off air, man.
Yeah, one of the best albums, Big Bamboo, and I wish I'd have saved that paper because that album would be worth a lot of money. But that's where an ounce of what went.
It went up in smoke.
For that.
Right, Wally? It went up in smoke. No,
it went up in smoke.
Right.
In fact, that particular time we used it, we went to the movie theater, and we were driving a Volkswagen Bug, and I think there was about 8 of us packed into that Bug. And
that's required. I think that's a requirement.
Well, naturally, they didn't, they didn't start with a key. Everybody had to get out and push start it, which was one of the best things of a Volkswagen. But we went to watch, what was that movie? It starred Wolfman Jack.
Oh, wow. Now
oh, my gosh.
And never heard Wolfman Jack till we went to that movie.
Really?
And, the funny thing is we rolled that paper up. And we lit it up and got the car started. And once the car started, the radio played.
Is that
We never heard Wolfman Jack prior to that movie.
American Graffiti?
Yes. That might be it.
We came out. We sparked that paper up. Of course, that was just like the Whopper, two hands. Mm-hmm. And Wolfman Jack was on the radio.
Really?
He freaked out. And it was all planned and across the nation, and that movie came out that was basically the starting of Wolfman Jack, at least, the East here. I think Wolfman Jack was known in the West.
Wally, you seem to be breaking up like a Hollywood couple over there, bro.
Paper, and we rolled it up, and that was our first experience of Wolfman Jack.
Yeah. And, like, you know, that reminds me of a movie called The Howling. You know, it was obviously about... And what was it? They were lying in bed and they hear these werewolves howling in the back and she goes, oh my God, that doesn't sound like a normal wolf or something. And he goes, what are you talking about? You're from California. The wildest thing you ever heard was Wolfman Jack.
You know, Vinny, you're really good at these impressions. I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah. Stroke his ego more. That's what he needs.
I should have been like a fossil sample finder or something. I'm that good at finding impressions.
Jeez. Wow.
And aren't you, I'm sorry, but aren't you a youngster? Like, you're young, aren't you? Like, yeah. In the terms of human age factor.
You're in your 30s, right? If that's what she's trying to say.
No. I'm not 30 yet.
Oh,
I love that about you. And because you're, you know, I'll tell you why. It's, you know, of course, you know, that whole cougar thing. No, I'm kidding. But I really wanted to just point out that, you know, your wisdom, you know, is really incredible. And I don't want to say for your age, because your wisdom is incredible anyway. But it is also very interesting to listen to you, you know, utilize references to things that many of us that are, you know, I'm in my 40s. And a lot of us are you know, slightly older than you. So it's really cool to know that you're, you know, that you walk the walk and back up a lot of what you're doing. And your wisdom is not accidental from what I'm gathering. Mm. You know, your wisdom's not accidental.
Yeah, I mean, you're some pioneer.
There you go.
Well, you know, I remember what John F. Kennedy said about the pioneers, and he said that those people gave up their comfort, their safety, and sometimes their lives to build our new West. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who say that those days are all over, that all the horizons have been explored. And my call is to the young at heart, regardless of age, can we see through in a day where we can seek mastery of the sky and the rain, the ocean and the tides, the far reaches of space, and the inside of men's minds.
Wow. Mm. Not bad, man.
Wow. True that.
And again, with the random references, you know, you make a comment about my wisdom. Oh, for fuck's sake, excuse me. Pardon. I said for frack's sake, as in fracking. It's a terrible, terrible hydraulic fracturing process. You know, I just hate it when people call me in the middle of a show, and it just happens so often these days. It's just, yeah, again, the mercury, just coming out of retrograde. Right. We'll blame that for it.
Don't.
Isn't there like a 40-second delay on this puppy? But there's no. But there's nobody there with a bleeper.
But there's no mute button. I mean, there's no. What is that button called? The anyway, the drop button or whatever they call it. Anyway,
fine.
Huh?
It's gonna be fine.
Yeah. It's okay, Vinny.
Moving on.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
There's a shadow.
The New Zealand accent, so it really didn't sound like.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we move on? Because what we're doing is laboring the point, and I actually was trying to make a point before I got so rudely interrupted myself.
There's a shadow period after before and after Mercury retrograde. Yeah, so that's probably what this effect is. So it's okay.
The shadow period. Yeah, my missus gets those. And I also wanted to talk about like where my wisdom actually comes from, and it's not mine, and I didn't earn it. All right. The reason why I've got, you know, what people would say is great wisdom or great wisdom for my age, etc., is because I basically only hang out and talk to, in the main, people that are on average nearly twice my age, who are actually really exceptional in their fields and their knowledge and their life experience, that kind of thing. And what happens is when you're somebody like that, you give knowledge freely to others, regardless of whether or not they've had to earn it. And what I've had to do to earn that is basically just talk to them, and they give it freely. So whatever wisdom I have, it's a result of what's been given to me. And I think that's that same goes for everybody. If you want to, you know, up your game somewhat, I advise you to do what I've been doing. Try and talk to people that are smarter than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
I do that every day. No, seriously. And people with age, you know, and experience in life, it's so important. I learned so much from my grandparents, and I absolutely love engaging in conversation with people, and I find it very interesting. You know, now that you bring that up, I'm sorry to just jump in. Of course, you know, I'm not that sorry, but ageism, you know, and the way that certain nations, certain cultures, I should say, will treat their elderly with respect and that type of thing. I don't know if that's starting to fade, but I know that it is a rampant situation where people are not treating their elders with respect. You know, in many, at least of the Western, countries, you know, the westernized countries, if you will. And, you know, I just find that so odd. Because it's true, if you're hanging out with people that are older than you, and I'm talking about elderly people as well, you know, I mean, I actually refer to those, you know, people in their 70s, 80s, 90s, it's amazing stories that this is. But not having a conversation about World War I with my grandfather, I take back. I think he was World War II. Yeah, he was born in 1907, and he passed away about 3 years ago, like that. But I never got into a conversation with him about that, his experiences, and that type of thing. So, you know, I have regrets about certain conversations I have not had, and I have to say that I very much regret those conversations that I have. It's amazing. So just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the theory or the topic of wisdom, I was actually texting Vinny earlier in the text box saying, hey, dude, you know, you got any thoughts? You know, you got any thoughts in your mind you want to share? And Vinny's like, nah, not really. But I know this cat's got a lot to share. You know, anybody here on the call or in the chat room, or if you want to call in and ask, it's cool. Or if you want to ask any of us big wig stars too.
Can I jump in here? Because there was something I wanted to talk about is how lazy a radio show interviewer I am and why.
Okay.
I don't research my guests. I don't know anything about them, right? Going into it, all I know is basically their email address and maybe their name.
That's awesome.
All right, and there's a reason for that. I know as much going in as the average member of the audience does, and I know how to get to know somebody. So if you're listening to somebody and they're being interviewed for the first time, you'll actually really get to know them. And they'll be given space to speak, you know. Because when you're trying to learn something about somebody, you try to let them do the majority of the talking, and you ask them questions or you offer interjections, that kind of thing. And I reckon that's kind of how it should be, because ultimately a lot of talk radio is kind of like processed, or it's, you know, it just kind of seems sort of dry and unfeeling to me. I want to bring that kind of emotional friendliness and fun back to the radio.
You made a very, very important point.
It's screened. It's called screen. Yes. They screen them prior. Mm-hmm. Most of your hosts.
No, Vinny's saying he doesn't screen.
Not surprised. Right. But when someone does know it, they're screening them first prior, so they don't have any surprises. Mm-hmm. Vinny likes surprises.
Well, Vinny, can I say something? Ironically, dude, I barely researched you at all when I pulled you in. So I'm on the same page, ironically, tonight. Yeah, no,
I love
seriously.
It that way, too. Yeah. You know, what, do I have time or something? Come
you
on.
Guys don't know who Vinny Eastwood is?
No, we know, but I just didn't do any in-depth.
Come on.
Well, see, somebody was telling me, like, oh, my God, you haven't seen The Wire, or you haven't seen, you know, some of the description of TV show. And I said, sorry, bro, I was busy, you know, working and living my life instead of trying to live vicariously through the lives of fictional characters. So, sorry.
I agree.
And I think talk radio is kind of like that as well. I think like somebody was trying to like lavish me with praise the other day, and it actually made my skin crawl. And I was like,
"Oh, I get it."
Like, no. I mean, they were being very, very genuine and supportive, but basically, it kind of like you can't freaking worship anybody, least of all me, and because I'm just a man, and I'm just as likely to be wrong as any other guy.
Right. Good point.
You know, you've been doing this for a really long time, though. So I'm wondering, like, what inspired you to start doing this? I mean, you had all the knowledge and the wisdom.
Yeah, day one. You know what I mean? Right,
was it
Heather?
The radio? Were you just, like, natural on the radio? Do you have some, like...
I found out, when I was starting out as an actor. Like, I got busted for weed, and that was pretty freaking traumatic. Yeah, yeah, it kind of broke me down, sort of thing. It was like the lowest point I've ever been in my life. Like, this real massive septic shock, like going from the police tell the truth and governments are there to protect you to actually feeling the brute force of their lies, deceit, and inadequacies in their legislation and the punishment for crimes. Like, I had 13 grams of pot. And they gave me 300 hours community service, and I was lucky I didn't get 8 years in prison for a first offense, right? Mm-hmm. That's how mm-hmm. nasty it was. And you know, I was like 20, and this was...
I was thinking, were you 19? I was wondering, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I was 19 when I started doing it, and I'd just turned 20 when the cops walked up the door with a couple of dogs and stuff. And after that, you know, I went... and did a bit of work in the vineyards back at home and on Waiheke Island. It's just a little island off the coast of Auckland, New Zealand's largest city, like 1.4 million people. Mm-hmm. And there's like 3,500 on the island. You know, it's kind of like Amity Island and Jaws, except the sharks are worse.
Oh my goodness.
No, I'm just joking. We didn't know sharks. Uh-huh. The ones we have wear suits.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Come on, I'll have a comment later.
And I'll take a bite out of you. But yeah, I then worked for three years doing telemarketing, I think you call
I've done
it.
That.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Calling yes. people up when they're trying to have yep. their dinner and try to sell them yep. some stuff that they're not interested in. Mm-hmm. I was able to convince on average one out of two people that picked up that phone to buy what I was selling them.
Did you feel dirty?
No, because I never lied. Only told the truth and went into the situations bold-faced, no preparation, not knowing who they are, what they're about, and be able to communicate clearly, directly, truthfully, and supportively to make sure that they actually got what they needed. If I could help them, I'd help them. If I couldn't, I'd actually tell them where to go to get a better deal. I tried to do it honestly and ethically. So naturally, I got fired.
I was going to say.
And that was like out of three jobs that kind of didn't go so well when you've got morals and ethics in the sales field, and you kind of become some sort of a pariah because you actually sell more than the other lying, cheating, psychopathic, narcissistic, sociopathic exactly. scumbags around you.
So that's lying, cheating, narcissistic, sociopathic scumbags around you.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever done sales?
I want to hear about the scumbaggery.
Yeah, well, I think scumbaggery came out of a realization that there was sort of like this illness. Like throughout my entire life, I'd been the victim of it. Like you'd be surprised if you're a loudmouth who's reasonably bright, who's quite creative and excels above a lot of other people without even trying a lot of the time, how many people who really, really have to try hard will actually stop trying so hard at being good at who they are and what they do and let you do your thing. They'll actually spend extra time and effort to mess up your life in order to tear you down to their level, you know, instead of trying to improve themselves. This is how people work in general. Psychopaths are even a lot worse than that. And
oh, yes.
It's kind of like
you're speaking my language. I told, you know, everything you're saying, I'm like, yep.
Yeah. It's about right, isn't it? And I'm just sick of the way I've been sick my entire life of how I've been treated, how society mm-hmm. is, seeing yes. all the problems everywhere. And so naturally when I started listening to American talk radio and finding and watching like two documentaries a day, in a space of 6 months, I went from, okay, I'm working and I'm making like $1,000 a week after tax at the age of like 23, without even really putting the effort in. And then getting an $11,900 shopping voucher bonus on top of that month's work. You know, I went from that to, my God, I've got to quit my job. I'm freaking depressed. I hate absolutely everything. Everything sucks. I'm a cog in a machine. We're all going to get freaking exterminated. We're going to get we're going to be chemtrailed to death, fluoridated to death, radiated to death, freaking everything to death. And unless I do something. you know, I cannot sit here and say, hey, look, I can help you out with your phone bill and think like I'm contributing enough to society. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of justification, oh, I've got my kids, I've got my this, I've got my that. You won't have any kids. You won't have any organic food. You won't have any anything. You're going to die. You're going to get exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery people with submachine guns and black masks. There's no way out, bro. You got to do something. That was like my brain was just shrieking at me. Bro, what are you doing? You're going to work. You're making money. You're going to be exterminated. You're going to be exterminated. Shrieking at me all day long. I can't even freaking contain it. And you get really, really depressed and then you quit your job. And you, when your money runs out, you go, oh, my God, I'm really, really sad and really depressed because your money's run out. So you go to the doctor and you say, man, I'm feeling really, really depressed. And conveniently in New Zealand, it's an incredibly socialist country. So he gives you $200 a week to live off, basically, is what they call a sickness benefit. And so I started my radio show and I started going out to protests and public meetings with my camera and editing them on my Mac and starting my YouTube videos. I got introduced to a woman called Vapi Kupinga, who's like the top Māori, you know, local natives in New Zealand radio show host. And she got me to co-host with her a couple of times and she'd, you know, buy me coffee and get me cake and stuff when I was like feeling really terrible.
Biscuits or something.
Rum cake?
And I'm even wearing one of the hand-me-down shirts she gave me from her son right now. And that was like 2 years ago she passed away. And it was quite sad when that happened, but she taught me one of my most important kind of realizations about talk radio. The reason why she was popular on a non-mainstream network, more popular than any other mainstream show in talk radio in New Zealand, is because she was able to talk about any issue and be able to relate it to Māori. And that's why she had such a massive Māori listenership, and as well as many others. And when I got given a radio show by American Freedom Radio, I learned that lesson that I have to be able to explain things but relate them to Americans. Because it was America that changed me. It was the information and the documentaries that were coming out of American mouths and American TV sets by which I learned much of my accumulated knowledge about the world. And
can I ask you, comparatively, I know because you live in a British Commonwealth, right? Would you say that anything that came out of Britain affected you as such, or is it a different, totally different ball game? Or
well, of course. I mean, there's all influences from everywhere. I mean,
sure.
You know, I've got a South African wife, for example.
Right.
And so, you know, it's an eclectic base of knowledge, but predominantly, when you look at the truth movement, when you look at who's making the documentaries, who's making the YouTube videos and all of that kind of stuff, who's got the biggest population, the most amount of resources and the most amount of people that are tech savvy that are actually doing that stuff right now? It's America. Yes. All right. And you know, by sheer default, that's the audience that needs to be turned, because when you look at the United States and you look at New Zealand, let's say we've got 4.5, maybe 5 million in New Zealand, and you've got nearly 400 million in the United States, give or take, maybe a couple of hundred extra million illegals there. But the point is, it's the center hub of the military dominance arm of the New World Order. It's the manufacturing base of the intelligence, of the intelligentsia, spy network, and the drug money. It's where Wall Street is. This is all a strategic asset. I think that's how the elite view the United States, as basically a strategic asset in their war machine in order to take over the world for those countries that will resist.
Sure.
Right? And so I figured, if we're not free here down in New Zealand because we've got all the exact same freaking problems, we've got the fluoride, we've got the chemtrails, we've got the poisons and the pharmaceutical industry reps selling people pills that they don't need that freaking make them commit suicide, and so on and so forth. You know, same problems, different accent, you know. That's basically the only patent difference. And that's when my realization hit me. I'm not free, and my country's not free unless all of us are free, unless all of our countries are free. It's like how they used to tie down zeppelins. They'd have ropes lashed over them from the front to the back. So it doesn't matter if one rope slips out or something like that. The zeppelin's not going to float away because it's secured by all of these others. The only way to get all of our countries out of this mess with the New World Order is to revoke all of their authority simultaneously and restore everybody's sovereignty. Because if we do it at once, one country at a time, that means all of the New World Order controlled countries are going to come and kill you and your people. You ain't going to be free for long, buddy.
Not only that, Vinny, but you've got geopolitical differences between different, not just Axis powers and so forth, but the regions, you know, this area, you know, if you take, for example, the West, and you've got the Middle East, and you have Asia, you know, the East, and then you have, Latin America. All these regions have their own, constitutions, cultures, morality, regulations, and even that which we can't see, like you were talking about New World Order type of scenarios, which you can't always see with the naked eye, right? You have to kind of be aware of it. So what you're kind of maybe saying, what I'm picking up from you, is that if it doesn't kind of happen in one general fell swoop, then what happens is you got one kind of power that's very different from another, and they're going to try to usurp or interfere, and there's too much conflict going on. Is that kind of what you're saying in a sense, or am I off, or just wondering? I don't know if he's there.
I was accidentally on mute. It's more the fact that we're affected by the exact same problems, the same group of psychopathic cabal, scumbaggery, secret society, networking, schmoozing, business, green Nazi, round table group, trilateral commission, Bilderberg scum. We were literally up to our ears in it, mate. You know, if you have a look, say, let's give you an example. In the year 2008, the United States elected a man named Barack Obama, who worked for a law firm who didn't do any law practice and tends to be a corrupt scumbag. And New Zealand, his mentor, I think, Zbigniew Brzezinski was Obama's mentor. New Zealand, we elected a guy called John Key, who's, I think, mentor was listed in 2011, I think, as the top corrupt capitalist. They listed a top 10, and our Prime Minister John Key's mentor was the number one. And he used to work on Wall Street for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York doing global foreign exchange and derivative trading.
Jeez, right? Talk about...
Now, he got elected as the head of a blue party called the National Party. Barack Obama got elected for a blue party called the Democrats. John Key passed successive legislation that took away everybody's rights to privacy. Obama did the exact same thing. John Key, in his first term, got New Zealand into more debt than all previous prime ministers in the nation's history combined. And Barack Obama, in his first term, got the United States into more debt than all previous presidents throughout history combined. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying when I say we've got the same problem?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
That's what I'm saying.
Is that the 100th monkey? Is that the 100th monkey politician? You know,
well, as far as I'm concerned, there's many monkeys, and I don't know if it's just 100 of them. There's probably more. But basically, all you're seeing is chimps in the suit. And ultimately, they're just as likely to rip your face off as they are to get your economy cranking again.
That's a terrible laughter. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. There's just
nothing uncomedic about having your face ripped off by a chimpanzee.
Sorry.
All I can think of is bath salts at this point. I'm like, wow, politicians on bath salts. I mean,
Well, you know, Vinny, she was referring to, you've probably heard about some of the scandals here in the U.S. with mayors of various cities, you know, doing crack cocaine in hotels with hookers.
And also zombies eating people's faces off. You know? So, you know, there's that. And then you could just combine those and make your own animal, I suppose. Yeah. You know, if you had like... a new, like, you know, paper doll game. Where, remember the paper doll games where, well, ladies might remember this, you know, where we had like the cutout girl and we got to like cut out the dresses, et cetera. Well, all we have to do really to zombie is put the politician suit on. And wait a minute, Vinny, weren't you saying last week? Yes, you were. It was you talking about politicians being made to wear, or they should be being made to wear stripes. And, right? And you were talking about them, you know, being thrown, you know, a piece of food or something along those lines. I remember it.
Well, they need to be wearing a stripy black and white jumpsuit, just like out of a 1930s prison movie. And they need to be chained to a desk with a ball and chain around their ankle. And now you're a public servant.
Yes. Yes. And then there was some other comment that you made, and it just it stayed with me most of the week, and I've lost it, of course, right now. But yes, basically, so you're looking at, you know, zombie politicians eating the faces off of people. That's where we're at. Is that? Am I close?
Well, The Walking Dead's kind of nailed it, you know. That's basically what we are. I saw a great picture on Facebook. And there was all these arms coming through the fence lines and stuff, and a dude on the other side, and it says, you may think that the current society is basically just a bunch of mindless zombies surrounding you, and a real zombie apocalypse would actually just give you something practical to do.
Oh, man.
Like, I don't know, board up your houses, you know, acquire more firearms. And, you know, grow your own food inside the house, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Inside the compound?
Defend yourself, defend your family, kill off the zombies and that kind
of
thing.
Make friends with your neighbors. Make friends with your neighbors.
Well, and then be prepared to shoot them or they'll eat you.
Don't make too good friends with the neighbors, guys.
Right.
In fact, what was it? A survivalist once told me the most dangerous thing in a crisis is a man with hungry kids.
Yeah, I would say so.
And the most important thing that you need to have in a crisis is your brain. If you can keep thinking, you can survive. If you stop thinking, if you stop moving, if you stop scheming, plotting to survive, you're not going to live.
Wow.
Well, you know, I wanted to see if... Wally, you've been kind of quiet. Do you have any comments or anything?
Sorry, I was just, I was Skyping. I just got some music sent to me from a lady that I really enjoyed talking with this afternoon, so you kind of caught me.
Well, don't let us keep you up, you know, don't let us.
No. Mad Painter took a couple hours that was vacated. And brought T.J. Mars on, or T.J. Morris, excuse me. And a wonderful lady. I hope she becomes a host. She just sent some Celtic music on the Skype machine from earlier, and I was just typing back. Because I put on mute and listened to some of this Celtic music. It's wonderful. And told her I'd get back to her later, but. Kind of been paying attention, but kind of not.
That's okay.
Me.
Is Nick still on too? I always love Nick's wisdom.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Nick, what's on your mind? What are your thoughts on what we're talking
about? Well, I was just thinking about stuff that Vinny was talking about, how, you know, we have to get back control of our lives. We have to, basically, if indeed there are 7 billion people on this planet, then I have inherited 1/7 billionth of the livable space on this planet. And where is it? It seems to have been stolen from me. And so as
livable
a result,
space.
Yeah, you know, and as a result, I can't farm. I can't take care of myself because my inheritance has been stolen.
Oh.
So if we were to each get our portion, our inheritance of this planet, then what we do is, first of all, we donate like 90% of it to the common good, so that we can have representatives and administrators administer that property to make sure that it creates a community that functions to serve us all. And what they've done is we've got a whole bunch of pirates instead that have turned us into the servants of their system.
Yeah, like permaculture, is forbidden, people's organic farms, livestock, are being, completely raided by, these police or whatever. I mean, and I don't know about you, Vinny. I know in Australia, it's kind of a requirement. I think it's a requirement to gather rainwater. Up here, it's illegal in many areas to gather rainwater for your homestead, et cetera.
Americans.
You guys, excuse me. The music is coming. Please hold those comments. We want to hear them when we get back from the break. Thank you, everyone. Just mute and please come back and continue. Thank you.